Amen. Well, again, I am so honored and humbled to be here with you guys. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to preach the word in this beautiful, anointed, blessed church. Amen. And I don't know what else to say, but God is really good in this beautiful church. And I am so inspired whenever I see Pastor Ulima still ministering and pastoring this beautiful church. I mean, you know, to be honest, she should have been, you know, enjoying her retirement, but she chose to serve God. She chose to give her life 100%. And I salute you, Pastor Ulima. Amen. You guys are so blessed to have a beautiful pastor inside out. And I pray that you and Uncle and the rest of the pastors will give you a longer, anointed, spirit-filled, prosperous, awesome lives until Jesus Christ comes. Amen. And I'd like to quote this verse for all of us, but dedicatedly for Pastor Lima. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very day that God who began a good work in you will bring it unto completion until the day our Lord Jesus Christ comes. And Jesus is coming soon. Amen. When the roll is called up yonder. Amen. I don't want to be left behind. Amen. And I want to see you all there. Amen. So praise be to Jesus. You know what? Pastor, how long have you been a believer? Over 70 years. I've been a believer for like 30 years. I was born again. I got born again back in May of 1981. I was just pretty young. I was many hairs ago. Praise be to Jesus. God is good. Amen. Well, I think I already shared this to you when I spoke here. When Jesus comes, you know, this corruptible body will turn into incorruptible one. Yes. And I shall, and we will all become perfect. And I can wait to have my hair back. It's going to be soon. Amen. Like I told you, I've been a believer for like over 30 years, and one of my struggle is keeping my focus on Jesus. There's a lot of distractions up until today. And to tell you honestly, if your eyes is not fixed unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, the devil will beat you black and blue. He will knock you down. Not only he will knock you down, he will try to knock you out. So this morning, I would like to share about focus. Can I remove this microphone? Thank you. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful, blessed morning. We thank you, Father God, because this is the day that you really made for us. And Lord, in our hearts, we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it, Father God. And we will always be thankful unto you, Father God, because your word says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. We thank you, Lord God, no matter what happened, just like your servant David, every day we will praise you. Every day I'm going to praise you. I'm going to exalt your name. Because you are such a good, wonderful, precious, gracious, merciful, loving, faithful God. And so, Father, as I minister forth your word, I pray that you touch my lips of clay. Speak through me, Father. And I do away any persuasive words of human wisdom. But I pray for the demonstration and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And Jesus, speak through me. Speak through me. And I thank you, Father God, for your people that are willing and more than willing to hear and obey your word. Thank you, dear Jesus. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name. And everyone say aloud.
Amen.
Amen. Repeat after me. Focus.
Focus.
All right. So what is focus? You know, I was playing with my Hey Google thing. I just bought a little. I think some of you folks have that one. It's like Alexa. Okay? And I ask Google, hey Google, what is focus? And he answered, you know, it is the center of interest or activity. Next slide, please. Okay. You got it, sis? You got it working? Okay. Anyway, focus is the center of interest or activity. And then he further says, it is the state or quality of having or producing clear visual definition. But I wasn't satisfied. I said, Google, hey Google, give me some more definition. And Google says, focus, you know, is concentrating on something in particular. You know, I am a nearsighted, okay? And if I remove my eyeglass, all I see is blurry faces. I can see you, but it's all blurry. This is how it looks like. Next slide, please. There you go. Okay. Did you notice the spectacle? Okay, you can see how clear the view, right? When I remove my spectacle, that's my view. It's all blurry. It's hard to focus. And I believe the Lord, you know, have given us what we call this spiritual spectacle, so that we can see things even vividly and be able to focus. Okay, but the thing is, there were times that when we get distracted, we remove that spectacle, and then we struggle and we're having a hard time to see things the way God wants us to see things. Okay, so we get distracted. Actually, distraction is the nemesis of focus. It is the downfall of focus. We are constantly tempted to pull away from a consistent focus on Christ. That's why, you know, Paul the Apostle tells us, fix your gaze unto Jesus, focus your eyes unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So when we're out of focus, the result is we often find ourselves being tossed to and fro by the concerns of life. Yes, it is true that we always encounter problems. Whether you like it or not, you will encounter problem. By the way, I heard a pastor a long time ago, and he asked this question, how many of you here wants to experience miracle? And I want to ask you the same question. How many of you here wants to experience miracle?
Amen.
Amen. Do you really want to experience a miracle?
Yes.
If you have problem, you go to God, and miraculously, God will solve your problem. So more problems, more miracles. If you give it to God, if your eyes is focused unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen? Amen. So keeping focus on Christ means that we're purposely fading out everything that pulls us away from connecting with Him. So my friends, listen to me. It's a disciplined lifestyle of choosing to see every blessing and struggle through the lens of Christ. Amen? So how can we stay focused in a world of busyness? Let me just, discuss with you the causes of distraction, okay? Distraction, at least the dangerous kind I'm referring to, is shifting our attention from something greater importance to something of lesser importance. Our fundamental and most dangerous problem in distraction is in being distracted from God. Our tendency to shift our attention, orientation from the greatest object in existence to countless lesser ones. Actually, the Bible calls this idolatry. So our attention often runs to what's important to us. So distraction can reveal what we love. So this fundamental attention shift disorders us in pervasive ways. So we find our tendency to be distracted from the more important to the less important. So at the deepest level, we are destructible because of our fallen, selfish nature. We have evil inside us. But we thank God because that evil will no longer triumph over us because we have Jesus. Amen. Since day one that Jesus found us and took us out from the miry clay and cleansed us by His precious blood, hallelujah, Jesus begins His permanent residency in our hearts. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? And I'm telling you, if you have Jesus, and if your eyes, spiritual eyes, is focused unto Jesus, no matter what the devil will do, the devil will not triumph over us. And we know that Satan is working double time. He's likened to a lion, but he's no lion at all. Okay? He's growling, but he's growling like a little kitten. You know what I mean? Huh? I'm telling you. Yes, he may seem to have this sharp teeth, but actually Jesus have totally bit him up and removed all his fangs. You know what I mean? So he's actually using a denture. He's just using a denture. He's phony. Satan is phony. All the devil have right now, the only power that the devil have right now is deception. Because he's the father of all lies. Satan is a liar. Tell your neighbor, Satan is a liar. Don't believe even an iota of his lies. Once you believe even an iota of his lies, I'm telling you, you'll be beaten up big time. Are you with me? So focus your eyes unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, there are a lot of distractions. Sickness can be a big distraction. Financial difficulty can be a distraction. Misunderstanding between husband and wife can be a distraction. You know what I mean? There are times, when we have some problems within the family, we tend to forget that God is in control, that God is sovereign. Instead of focusing on Jesus, we focus on the problem. I'm telling you, my dear friends, Jesus is way, way bigger than our problems. Are you with me? And since Jesus is way bigger than our problems, no matter how big your problem is, I don't care if you have a million problems, it means that you have a million miracles. So just focus your eyes unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Well, I'd like to congratulate Pastor Kavika and Caitlin. Amen. Welcome to the club, bro. I've been married for like 28 years. Amen. Ask me if it's easy. God is good. I love my wife, and my wife loves me. Amen. And we don't have the same personalities. We're totally opposite. I mean, there are times that Lil, we argue over little things sometimes. How many times is sometimes? Many times. But you know what? The more we love each other. And by the way, the very foundation of our love is none other than Jesus Christ. Amen. So, brace yourself, Pastor Kavika and Caitlin. It's going to be a beautiful, sometimes bumpy trip. Amen. But it's I'm telling you, I guarantee you, it's going to be a life-transforming experience. So make sure that your eyes is focused unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So, you know, there was one lady named Martha who was so distracted. I remember she was helping people. She was preparing something. She was preparing a meal for her, you know, visitors. But let me go to Luke chapter 10, verses 41 up to 42. You know, Martha was busy in the kitchen while Jesus was teaching in her home. And when Martha complained that her sister Mary wasn't helping because she was sitting at Jesus' feet. And Jesus replied in Luke 10, 41 up to 42. And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." Notice Martha was distracted from Jesus. By what? By serving her guest. Why? Because she was so anxious. Anxious about what? Anxious about feeding everyone, and you know, and in all likelihood, anxious about what everyone would think of her and her household if she did not do well. Let me tell you something, okay? God is not nearly as interested in our efficiency as he is in our faith. But Martha, you know, didn't recognize her distraction until Jesus helped her see her heart. She thought she was doing the right thing by serving everyone. But Jesus pointed out to Martha that her values were disordered. She had shifted her attention from the greater importance to the lesser. So in our business, you know, we must ask, what is the real distraction? What does our heart desire? Are we choosing the good portion, seeking the great one thing? You know, Psalm 27:4 tells us, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple." How many of you still remember Matthew 6:33? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, I know that you have heard that dozens of times being preached and quoted by many pastors. Amen. But that is the most important thing for you and for me and for all of us, not to be distracted. All the distraction, you know, is always present. We cannot, you know, banish distraction forever. Unless, you know, Jesus will come and we'll be with him up in heaven, there would be no distraction. Our focus is just worship the Lord 24/7 and enjoying the kingdom of God up in heaven. Hallelujah. But if you seek God and if you make God your priority, everything is going to be A-okay. If God is on top, listen to this. If God is on top, blessings is nonstop. Amen. So focus on God. Focus on Jesus. You know, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame, according to Psalm 34, verse 5. Okay, let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in the company of someone who makes time with God a priority? Okay, listen. There's a certain radiance in their attitude. A person who takes time, okay, to be with the Lord on a daily basis, you can see the radiance in that man's or woman's countenance. Amen? Now, like I told you, focusing on God is one of my struggles. I have to be honest with you. I desire to make God my priority before, you know, I do things in the church. I make it a point that I have to talk to God, meditate on his word, intercede, and so forth. But a lot of times, you know, the devil would use, you know, my business. You know, as a senior pastor, I'm actually pastoring two churches. One in Hilo, one in Kona. And then the Lord gave me the position to be the district overseer of the Big Island. And it's not an easy task. But God kept telling me, son, in spite of your business, make sure that you take time to focus on me. Yes, it is true that I have given my life to Jesus, that my life is serving him. That is why I'm not working. I'm not working in any secular job. I've made this covenant before the Lord that I will serve you all the days of my life. When I started the church in the Philippines back in 1994, God told me, son, you better focus on me. If you want to see people get saved, just focus in serving me. And my dear friends, the Lord allowed me to witness, to see the church grow by leaps and bounds. And the clips that I've shown you a while ago, those are the church that the Lord have built through my leadership. And up to this time, I'm giving all the glory to God. Those churches are growing both spiritually and numerically. And the church is actually expanding. Amen. And I'm excited. By the way, this morning my wife talked to me about our mission this coming March. We have a problem, actually. You know what happened in China, right? What do you call that kind of coronavirus, okay? And my wife told me, Dad, do you still want to go? I talked, I was I had this conversation with my foster mother. She was supposed to join us for mission in the Philippines, but she changed her mind because she's scared that, you know, you might get the virus and so forth. So this morning my wife talked to me and asked me, do you still want to go? She really made me think. She gave me some facts and other stuff that I have to make a decision not to go. And actually she talked to my daughter as well last night. And my daughter said, okay, Mom, I'm not going to go. And then this morning I told my wife, okay, I'm not going to go just for the sake of protecting myself and my daughter. But anyway, while we were driving, coming to church, my daughter told me, Dad, I want to go. And I told her, I want to go too. I believe it is the call of the Lord that have placed in our hearts to fulfill the Great Commission. Coronavirus is one of the distraction to fulfill the Great Commission. It reminds me again that God is going to be with us all the days of our lives. He's going to protect us. Amen?
Amen.
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 And by the way, going back to my focus to God, like I told you folks, it has been my struggle focusing on God. But you know what? The Lord have turned my life upside down. I have to make a firm decision to really focus on God. Well, please don't misunderstand me, okay? Don't misinterpret me that Pastor June is drifting away. No, I am not. Like I told you, my life is God's. And I will continue to serve God until the day that He will come. My only struggle is how to stay firm and focus on my daily devotion with my God. Because there's so much distraction. Yes, I'm God's worker in His kingdom. I always find myself so busy in His kingdom, but never have enough time to my King who owns the kingdom. You know what I mean? It's different when you are focused on God. Everything is going to be A-okay. Even though you will go through tests and trials, even though how bad your situation is, if you make God your number one and your eyes is focused on God, it's going to be A-okay. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, I'm saying this because I have experienced it, and I'm continually experiencing the goodness of God whenever I am focused on God. You know what? It's hard to focus to love your wife if you are not focused on God. Believe me. Believe me. I understand, Brother Kihara. You're not alone, bro. Okay? But I agree with Pastor that, you know, we both still have a long way to go. But I'm telling you, as our eyes is focused on God, your love for one another will grow by leaps and bounds, and it will bring glory and honor to our Almighty God. Amen. So how to stay focused on God? Start with God. Amen. You know what happened in the book of Acts? How did the church grow by leaps and bounds? First and foremost, God told them, why don't you go to that place in the upper room and focus and wait on the power that I promise to give to you? And you know what? The 12 disciples and the rest of the believers went to the upper room and they waited on God. You know, according to some Bible scholars, some said, you know, it took them like 30 days and some like 3 months or 4 months waiting on the promise of the power coming from the Holy Spirit. But the good thing about the 120 believers, of course, headed by the disciples, they were so focused, they were not distracted. They stayed in the upper room and prayed and seek God with all their hearts. And you know what happened, right? When they stayed and focused on God, the promised Holy Spirit came upon them. And they were baptized by the Holy Spirit. They were indwelt, empowered by the Holy Spirit. What happened to the church? Hey, by the way, it was Pentecost Sunday when that took place. Okay, there were thousands of Jewish from all over the nation came to celebrate the Pentecost Sunday. Okay, so while everyone was having this celebration outside the upper room, they heard a commotion, some noise coming from the upper room. And people thought, you know, the people in the upper room were drunk and out of their minds and so forth. But look what happened to Peter, a man who was indwelt, empowered, anointed by the Holy Spirit. If you read about the life of Peter, you would say, I don't think this guy will make it. Yes. Probably you might become one of Peter's haters. You know what I mean? Because of his attitude. But after the upper room experience, he was never the same again. He was even more focused. And when he began to preach the gospel, and when he began to address the people, thousands of people, he preached with greater power and anointing. You know how long did he preach? Some pastor says, you know, he only preached for like three minutes, and then thousands of souls were saved. But you know what? If you read Book of Acts, it was a lengthy preaching. But he was so anointed, everyone's ears were so attentive. And you know what happened, right? 3,000 souls were saved. Amen? Why? Because Peter and the rest of the believers were so focused unto God. They make God number one. They make God their priority. Why? That is why the church grows by leaps and bounds. And if you read further, according to the book of Acts, souls were saved on a daily basis. Souls were added into the kingdom of God. Why? Because the believers in the Lord are so focused on God. And you know what? When you are focused unto the Lord, you will experience transformation. It is not just a simple change. It begins from the very inside. It is a transformation from inside then outside. You know what I mean? Amen? And so the lives of the believers in the first church, in the book of Acts, were never the same again. And they were the responsible people that have turned the world upside down. And no wonder that ripple of revival still continues today. Amen. God is good. The key is focus on God. Start with God. You'd probably heard that when something is repeated twice in the Bible, it's something to pay attention to, right? Now, I have to be repetitious to you guys. This is biblical. You may agree with me or not. Okay? You know, there's a word, there are two words in John 15, verse 1 up to 11, that have been repeated several times, like the words abide and remain. Jesus said in John 15:4, abide in me. So he repeated that in two other ways in John 15:5 up to 7, while also providing a stark warning and vast promise. Okay, let me read to you John chapter 15. It says, whoever abides in me and I in him, okay, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. Folks, listen to me. Staying focused on God requires abiding in him. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. Hey, it doesn't matter how educated you are. It doesn't matter if you are genius. It doesn't matter if you have memorized the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But if you will not abide in him, it's nothing. Are you with me? So staying focused on God requires abiding in him. I know your mornings, you know, are rushed, but if you create a discipline to spend the first minutes of your day reading the Word of God and talking to him about the day ahead, you will have a greater focus on him throughout the day. Amen? So if you don't know where to start, you know, try reading, you know, John 15, verses 1 up to 11 each morning for a week, okay? It won't take long, and the passage is crazy profound, I'm telling you. Number two, live in prayer. Pastor, I pray. But you know what? There's a big difference between you pray and living in prayer. Back in 2004, I went to school in Maui. And I had a professor from Argentina. And he discussed about prayer. And he asked this question. And he asked his students, how many of you here pray? So everyone raised their hands. I'm one of them. And I was really curious because the teacher is teaching about prayer. And this is always in my head. I want to make sure if my teacher practices what he teaches and what he preaches. So I came to him personally, sir, do you pray? And his answer, June, I don't pray, but I live in prayer. It was his lifestyle. Okay? Now, do you want to create and develop a habit of prayer, of prayerful life? You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 makes one simple yet bold command. Pray without ceasing. Probably some of us misunderstood that verse. Oh, pastor, is that means that I have to start from working? All I have to do is just pray. Just sit in one corner or just, you know, kneel before the Lord and pray 24/7. No, actually, it's a lifestyle. Whatever you do, you just have to be a man or a woman of prayer. Are you with me? You know, this habit is worth developing, and it is not as difficult as you might think. Plus, prayer has a way of changing lives. And the good thing about living in prayer, you're always aware of the presence of God. Because when you pray, you are simply talking to God. And when you're talking to God, you are in the very presence of God. So prayer is simply talking to God. I mean, you don't have to use highfalutin words, some high-sounding words. It doesn't matter if you're Filipino. Use your Tagalog, Ilocano. If you're American, use your English language. Okay, if you're Pidgin, use your Pidgin language. You know what I mean? Amen? God understands all languages. Believe me. God is an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God. Not only he's all-knowing, he's an omnipresent God. He's present everywhere. Amen? So, folks, live in prayer. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us, pray without ceasing. Pray on all occasions. Amen? Well, you know, the disciples didn't ask Jesus to teach them how to preach. As a matter of fact, they asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. You know what, my dear friends, I'll be honest with you. Every day I would ask God, Lord, teach me how to pray. Although I can pray, literally. You can ask me to pray the whole day. I'll pray. But it's different when you receive the teaching of how to pray from Jesus. Is so different. It is a very life-changing, life-transforming prayer and experience. Amen? How to focus on God? Limit the distractions. I know that you cannot get rid of distraction. It's always present. Actually, even if you're inside a church listening to the pastor, you can be so distracted. I know people, and I know Pastor Lima knows this too. Pastor Kavika knows this. We know who are the people that are really listening. You know, some people are like so focused on the preaching, but the truth of the matter, their mind is far away. Please don't be angry with me. I'm just telling the truth because I've done that many times. Even I, as a pastor, there were times I'm having a hard time to listen. Lord, help me. Help me to focus. I don't want to get distracted. Especially if the preacher is out of context. I'm sorry. I have to be so honest again with you guys. I used to be very, 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 very critical pastor when it comes to preaching and theology. I would fight for it. If you're wrong, I'm going to tell you, I don't think you're on the right. You preach the word on the context of what the Bible says. Don't be that, okay? God already transformed me. It didn't do me any good. I didn't grow at all. Amen? When the word of God is being preached, even if the pastor is no longer out of context, receive the word of God. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. Amen? So, again, limit the distractions. We have to keep a clear space between us and God. I mean, you cannot keep your eyes on what you can't see, physically or spiritually. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 4, I'd like you to listen to this. The people of Israel are commanded to keep a distance of 2,000 cubits between them and the Ark of the Covenant. And probably you're thinking, Pastor, what is the measurement in our present day? I don't know what is 2,000 cubits, okay? So that's about half of a mile, and the purpose was, so the people of Israel during that time would always be able to see the ark in all times of terrain that they were traveling through. Now, let me further explain this. In our spiritual lives, when we fill the spaces with all kinds of conveniences and distractions, it becomes very difficult and even impossible sometimes, you know, to see where the Lord is leading us. We need to stay focused on God. Amen. We need to keep our distance from anything that will distract us. Are you with me? Amen. So we can overcome this by limiting the distractions, the busyness, and our own lack of discipline by making conscious effort to keep our Lord in the number one spot in our lives. Amen. Number four, serve God. How many of you here wants to serve the Lord? Amen. Let me tell you this. Attending church is serving God. That is why I like that emphasis this morning in Hebrews. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves. Amen. It is very important that you and I, you know, consistently attend the church. I don't know if you agree with me, but it happens to me. And I also witness it to other brothers and sisters. Those that are not attending church are affected big time as far as their spirit is concerned. If you are affected spiritually, you'll become bitter, critical, and you're spiritual. You are blind spiritually. You don't see any good. You don't hear any good. All you hear is but negatives. You know what I mean? Amen? There are people that don't attend the church and they stop praying, stop reading the word. It's going to be a spiritual disaster. The devil will beat you up. I'm telling you, my dear friends. Keep on keeping on. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us not retreat nor surrender. Keep fighting the battle. Although we don't literally fight the battle, it is God who is fighting for us. Amen? So let us be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Tell your neighbor, let's keep on keeping on. Do not retreat nor surrender. Fight on. Press on. Amen. Repeat after me. In Christ Jesus, I am more than conqueror. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me, God will condemn. Amen. So keep your eyes unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Even if you know, I was reading what Sister Shannon have posted on her Facebook. You know what? Her condition requires focus on God. It's not easy for her, but she chose to focus on God rather than focusing on the pain she's experiencing on a daily basis. Are you with me? Yeah. Amen. Folks, again, attending church is serving God. Reading the Word of God, praying, talking to God is serving God. Yeah. Worshiping God, singing praise and worship is serving God. Helping your pastor is serving God. Supporting the church of God, I'm not referring to my organization, this church, this beautiful church, is serving God. Amen. If you have talent, use that for the glory of God. You are serving God. Helping the poor is serving God. Amen. Are you with me? Come on, let's give God a big hand of applause. How to get rid, not totally get rid, I know it's it will always be present, the distraction. But how to be focused. This is a little heavy, okay? It says, remove sin from your life. The Bible tells us that for the wages of sin, it's death. You know, Prophet Ezekiel tells us that the souls that sin shall die. Sin ain't good. It won't do you any good. It may look so beautiful and attractive. it will only destroy you and it will make you ugly before the Lord. Are you with me? You know, this should be the first point in the list. Okay, but anyway, what I mean by this to remove the habitual, continuous, sinful habits and patterns from our lives or from your life. Hebrews 12:1 tells us, since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything. It didn't say we must get rid of something or this thing. But we're told and commanded by the Word of God that we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. So if there's something, someone, someplace, or anything in your life that leads you away from God in any way, or that keeps you out of prayer, away from fellowship with other believers, or distracts you from reading your Bible, you have one option. Remove that from your life. Staying focused on God or growing in your spiritual prayer or Christian life in any way with any habitual sin in your life is next to impossible. Kill the sin or it will kill you spiritually or physically or both. Amen? Do not babysit sin. No. Kill it. You know how to kill sin? 1 John 1:9. That if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know that we all have the tendency to sin. But we thank God for His provision. We have Jesus on our side. Amen? And we have the Holy Spirit who will, you know, remind us on a daily basis. Every second, every minute, every day, 365 days in a year, we will be reminded. And plus the Word of God. So since the fall of man, people have had trouble staying focused. So lots of experts are talking about the negative effects this is having on us. So we're becoming conditioned to distraction and it's harming our ability to listen and think carefully, to be still, to pray, and to meditate, which means it is a spiritual danger, an evil from which we need God's deliverance. Folks, again, I have to be repetitious on this. Be focused because Jesus is coming. Be focused by constantly reading the Word of God, talking to God on a daily basis. Amen? Don't stop attending the church. If the church have seven services, go ahead and attend them. If the church have seven services. Because attending church, again, is serving God. Amen? You know what is the less attended service in the church? Prayer meeting. Prayer meeting. We have once a week prayer in the church. That's every Tuesday. It's embarrassing to say, but I'm going to share it to you. There are times we only have like two or three or four people that come and pray with me and my wife. We have a very good attendance on our midweek services, like the midweek Bible study. They love to study. But I wonder why they don't want to pray and take time to talk to God. Prayer is the backbone of the church. If the church will stop from praying, the church will stop from growing. Are you with me? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. The same thing with husband and wife. If husband and wife stop talking to each other, their relationship will be affected greatly. Amen? So folks, do not neglect your prayer time, your devotion with God. Amen. Whatever it takes, we need to keep on keeping on, being focused on God. Now, when we are focused on God, focus on prayer, reading the Word of God, we will also be focused in reaching our neighbors, our community for Jesus. This church, I always believe this. Amen. We thank God for a hard-working pastors that we have here. Amen. For us to see our church grow, first we must focus on God. For us to be able to really make things happen, to see this church grow. You know, there's a great commission that Jesus gave to us, right? It was not only given to his disciples, but that same great commission is given to the body of Christ. We must go out and preach the gospel and win our community for Jesus. This church, this beautiful church, this anointed church is so potential to grow. Actually, you guys are growing tremendously. This is one of the churches that I really love to come and minister. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. And I love you folks very much, and I love the way you worship God, and I love the songs that you guys are singing. Amen. By the way, I'll be honest with you again. Whenever I come here, I always have this blast in the past. I used to sing the songs that you were singing back in the 80s. I was just a kid. And during those times, you know, Philippines was experiencing revival and growth. And I've seen our church back in the Philippines have grown tremendously. And the same thing, this church is going to grow. And it's actually growing. But if you wanted to see this church grow both spiritually and numerically and financially, actually I like the praise during, you know, during our offering, tithes and offering portion. You know what? I believe that prayer, and it's now happening in this church, but we just have to be so focused on God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Even your personal lives, what is your desire? When you're focused on God, God will give the desires of your heart. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Amen. We must delight ourselves unto Jesus. And let's be focused on Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Amen. You know what? I am not a prosperity preacher, but let me ask you this. How many of you here wants to become a millionaire? No one wants to be a millionaire. No, like I told you, I am not a prosperity preacher, okay? But I believe in prosperity. When you are focused, when you obey God, you know, God will prosper you. Both spiritually, financially, emotionally, socially, you name it. For as long as you... How many of you here wants to become millionaire? Amen. I want to be millionaire. Amen. Not that I have, you know, a hidden agenda. I want to use it for the glory of God. Helping the poor, building more church, helping the church that are in need, helping our community. Amen. That's why I said, Lord, if you make me millionaire, remind me first to pay my tithes. There are times I said, Lord, thank you for 1 million. And then God would ask me this question. What about your tithes? I'm not going to bless you. Because you forget your God. Amen? Amen. Don't forget God. Focus on God. Focus on God. Tell your neighbor, let us focus on God. Amen. Praise be to Jesus. Well, again, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, congregation. Thank you, my brothers and my sisters, for allowing me to preach and share the word to you guys. And before I end, I'd like everyone to please stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Shall we worship the Lord together? Auntie, can you... play the piano for me, please. Let us worship the Lord. Let us just focus on God this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just play some worship songs. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Worship the Lord. Thank you, Father God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, He is Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Let's sing it for Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Help us, Father God, to live in total focus unto you, Father. Lord, we acknowledge that there are a lot of distractions. But Lord God, if you are in us and if you are with us, we know, Father God, that we can really focus on you, Father. Lord, this flesh is trying to get up, to get us out of focus unto you. But we acknowledge that you are with us and you are in us. Like your servant, the Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in this body, I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. And so, Father, as we live in you, Father God, we want to be focused like how you are so focused, Lord God, to meet our needs, oh God, to transform us and to bless us, Father God, on a daily basis. Thank you, Father God. Lord, you can see the lives of my brothers and my sisters. Lord, you know exactly, Lord God, Oh Jesus, how the devil is using every distraction to get us out of focus, Lord God. But Lord, we thank you for your word, Father God. That from this time on, Father God, that we will be focused, oh God, in attending church, Father God, having our daily communion, prayer, reading of your word, Father God. Lord, we want to be focused in everything that you want us to do, Father God. But first and foremost, we want to be focused on you alone, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, increase our resolve to pursue only what you call me to do, and deliver me, Lord God, from the fragmenting effect of fruitless distraction in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray that your anointing, I pray that your power, Lord God, will take over our lives, just like your disciples, just like the believers in the book of Acts, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, your coming is so imminent. Lord, you want us all, Father God, to be so focused, to be so serious about our walk with you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And so, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your power will envelope each one, this beautiful church, for your glory and honor in the name of Jesus. Satan, I'm telling you, this church will continue to grow by leaps and bounds in the name of Jesus. And no weapon formed against this church shall prosper in the name of Jesus. And Lord, your word says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lord, this church, Lord God, we are people, the body of Christ is a focused body of Christ. We will focus our eyes unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, begin to worship God. Begin to thank God for the power and the anointing to focus on Him alone in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your grace, Father God. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the fellowship and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon this beautiful, wonderful, anointed church, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, let's sing that song again for the last time. Come on, church. Oh, hallelujah.